Hey, everybody. I'm C.
I'm Jen.
And you're listening to Tomtit and Baobab.
Welcome back to Tomtit and Baobab, the New York Times Spelling Bee-inspired podcast that's all about words, word games, and the word nerds who love them.
Jen, it's March! Quick, things associated with March.
March hair.
Oompa, oompa.
Little Women.
March of the Tink. What is it in the you know, the dun 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 dun?
Oh yeah. March of the something. I know what you're talking about. March of time.
In like a lion, out like a lamb.
Ooh, that was good. I was going to do that one. Pisces.
Oh, in DC, the cherry blossoms.
That's good. March. McDonald's, M Arch, Golden Arches.
I was going to say like Marché. Isn't that one of those stores in Paris? All right, I think we did pretty good. Do you remember doing that? So
yes,
Jen and I did Odyssey of the Mind for years, and that was like a spontaneous round. Do people still do OM?
I think so, but I don't know if it's the same, and maybe we should tell people. So OM, or Odyssey of the Mind, as Cecilia said, formerly called Olympics of the Mind until the Olympics threatened to sue them, I think, is,
which is funny,
a creative problem-solving competition. There are several different parts of it, but one of them is a spontaneous part where basically you go with your team and they give you some sort of problem.
Something like a word.
Sometimes it's a word. And you have to go around as fast as you can with as many creative responses to it as you can. And people got so fast that they started to have to assign you a number. And then if your number got turned over so that it wasn't just in a circle.
Oh, I don't even remember
that.
Yeah.
And
that's
if you were
so
really good, you won an award called the Renata Fusca Award.
Did we win that? Because we were really good.
We won that many times.
Oh, very cool. Well, I'm glad for us. So, Jen, before we march ahead, I want to take an opportunity to dispute a post. Our friend Leslie sent us this post from the New York Times Spelling Bee Facebook group.
You're going to dispute a post? This must be really serious.
It is, because it involves Google, which I discussed last week in my deep dive.
I really hope you're not going to tell me that it is not a word created by a 9-year-old.
Don't worry. Google is totally a word created by a 9-year-old. But someone in the Facebook group wrote that another word for Google is duotrigintillion.
Ooh, cool word.
It is a cool word, but it is not the same as a Google.
What?
So duotrigintillion is actually 10 to the 99th power as opposed to a Google, which is 10 to the 100, right?
So it's actually less than a Google.
Yes, it's like one. Okay. A Google is 10 to duotrigintillion. 10 times duotrigintillion. Anyway, besides that, I just want to clear up a math misconception. Researching this actually led me down a crazy rabbit hole of number naming conventions, which I actually think are really interesting. And there are a few of them, with the Conway-Weschler system seem to be the standard. Uh-huh. So think like Latin roots, words like nanillion.
Octillion. Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I won't get into it, all of it here, but if you want to know more, look up Steve Olson's Big Ass Numbers site.
Oh my God, that is the best.
Jen, can we put in a link? Can we?
I'm going to be looking at that later tonight. That is awesome. What a good name.
Yeah, like to know like how to do like every one of these like crazy numbers. Like there's ways that people do them and more than one. So very interesting. I have to tell you one more thing.
Yeah.
Earlier today, while I was in the car, I heard the news that Merriam-Webster has decided that you can put a preposition at the end of a sentence.
Okay. So I hate to break this to you, but that's not actually news.
So apparently, you know, there's been people doing it
forever.
But just this week, Merriam-Webster actually said that's okay.
Yeah. Well, you know, Merriam-Webster, that's their whole thing, is that they're supposed to follow what people are actually doing, descriptive instead of prescriptive.
How do you feel about it?
As an editor, it totally depends on the voice of what you're writing. I would say informal writing, like really formal writing.
No, that's what they're saying. Informal writing.
I don't know. No, if I was writing a scholarly paper, I don't think that I would do it. I'm not saying that you can't. I'm just saying I don't think that I would do it. Whereas like if I were writing a book that was meant for just like a general audience, then I probably would.
Well, they're saying now you can end with a preposition anytime you want. And also, if no one heard this NPR news bit on the radio, you should listen to it because it ends with the host saying all of the prepositions in order because he had to learn them in school, and it's really funny.
I thought you were going to say it ends on a preposition, and I guess it does.
Oh, there's a good story about that too. Listen to the go on NPR, look for it. It's pretty good. So,
I will. Can we get back to marching now, though?
Oompa, oompa, doopity doof. Let's march into the weekend bees.
This is the part of the show where we talk about bees from the previous week. Today, we're starting with Saturday, February 24th, and ending with Friday, March 1st. See, I was on fire last week, as we know. This week, I was still on fire.
Yeah? All good this week? Nice.
Pretty good. There was only one day, I think, that I didn't get queen, and it's because I didn't get back to the puzzle. How about you?
I don't think I had any time to do anything this week, but that's not true. I might have gotten queen a couple times more by accident. I think it was the unzipped day that I was like, oh, I got queen. Okay. I wasn't even trying.
Oh, that's right. You did. You were like, this is the shortest puzzle. And it was really short puzzle that day.
Yes.
What day was that?
Tuesday, the February 27th, the Denizen. Yeah. Nudie. You were all mad at nudie.
I was.
That was
Can
your
you
last
stop
word.
For a second and talk about that.
Nudie?
Denizen is a word that I like very much. And it's one of those words that when I was in high school, I used to try to like throw into every paper that I wrote. Much like William Locke tries to throw myrific into every book that he writes.
Right, right. Call back to last.
Nudie is probably on my list of top 10 most hated words.
Because?
It's just so like vulgar and like unnecessary and like gross. Ugh.
I hear you.
Do you disagree?
No, I really don't. It's a weird word, but it wasn't a horrible puzzle day. I mean, it wasn't exciting, but it was fine.
Yeah, it was fine.
The day that did annoy me for sure was Sunday, February 25th.
Mm-hmm.
That day, I go to start doing it.
Yeah.
And like, I have all these crazy words. I had otalgia, like one of the first words I had.
Wait, you actually got otalgia?
I know that word.
How?
I mean, again, I do medicine-y stuff, you know?
Oh,
so,
true. Do you want to tell people what that is? Because I didn't know what it was.
Wait, how did you not know what it is?
Because that is not a common term. I don't go into the doctor and say, doctor, I'm feeling otalgia. I say, doctor, I have an earache.
So you know
which
it's
is
an
what
earache.
Otalgia is,
well,
by the way.
First of all, whenever you see like OTA or OVO or whatever, you kind of are looking out for those kind of words. So that was one thing about
it. I don't
it.
Like it.
Also, I did have an earache last summer.
Oh,
and I don't usually have earaches.
And when you went to the doctor, did you say, doctor, will you check me for otalgia?
No, but it was probably diagnosed as otalgia, and I probably had to get a prescription for that. And as I said, I also like, I do continuing education stuff for medicine. So, you know.
Okay.
But all that said, that day,
wait,
I was like, I had
the
all
day
these,
I did not get queen.
But I had all these crazy words.
Mm-hmm.
And like, I was just a genius. I was just like, what the hell else could be here? Like, I had the agitator, the irrigator, I had griot, I had groat.
Yep.
I mean, I had all these stupid, what I consider B words. I wrote you and I said, today is a whole day of B words.
It really was. You mentioned griot, which
oh,
is.
Oh, really? You don't say
no,
the
No, I don't think
or
so.
The T? I didn't even know. I just know it as a B
this
word.
This is griot. And this is really interesting. So Merriam-Webster defines it as any of a class of musician entertainers of Western Africa whose performances include tribal histories and genealogies. A storyteller.
Right. And you think, why should I know that?
Well, I know that because I've worked on like art in Africa and things like that. So I've come across that word before.
Mm-hmm.
Now, here's the interesting thing. You know how we always complain about Merriam-Webster's AI sentences?
Right.
One of the sample sentences under griot was, there's also curry oxtail griot and whole or half jerk chicken. Now, I said, huh, that's weird. I don't think they're talking about a storyteller in that sentence. So I Googled
it
and learned from Wikipedia that griot is a dish in Haitian cuisine. However, that's not a definition that Merriam-Webster gives.
Oh, they don't even give that definition?
They don't even give it.
Oh, that's so weird. Very weird.
The other word that I thought was really weird that day was Argo or Argot.
Oh.
Do you say Argot or Argo?
See, that one I think you say Argo, but I don't know. Why'd you think that was weird? Again, I feel like it's just a word I know.
I got that word, and I think that it was because I felt like it was a word, but I didn't actually know what it meant. Do you know what it means?
I didn't either. I just looked it up, actually. That's funny. That is not what I thought it meant. It means the jargon or slang of a particular group or class. So teenage Argo. So it's like teenage slang. Yeah. Why should we know that word?
Or we could have be Argo.
Yeah, exactly. Which is what this is.
Exactly. Yeah. That was a weird day. Google came up again on that
day.
Yeah,
I did like that Google was there.
So you should have liked that. Yeah.
Yes.
There was another food word on Monday 2/26, adobo.
Oh, adobo.
Do you know adobo?
Yeah. Everybody knows adobo. Well, that's a normal word.
I don't know adobo. I got that word, but it's only because I was thinking of Adobe. And I was thinking to myself, like, adobo, that's such a weird form of Adobe. And then I looked it up and realized it was food.
I was happy that Bollard was there and that I actually remembered it. I was actually shocked that I remembered Bollard, even though we had talked about it the week before. So you'd think, of course you remembered it, but I don't.
I remembered it, but I had many conversations about Bollard last week.
Did you end being happy?
With Bollard?
Yeah, that it's in there. Like, now are you happy? Are you fine, it's a good word.
Now I know it.
Yes, but for other people, you goof.
Yeah, I don't care about other people.
Oh, my God.
David wrote to us and said, Bollard is, like, totally a word.
Yeah.
This is what it is.
No, I don't know that he was saying it was a great word. He was saying this is what it is, but go ahead.
Yeah, he was saying that it was a word. My mom also said to me, I can't believe you guys didn't know what Bollard was. That is such a word. Everybody knows what a Bollard is. They're all over the place. And since then, every time we have gone out of the house and have seen a pole, she's like, Bollard, Bollard, Bollard.
Good work, Bonnie. I like it.
And,
you know, I was just going to say, if you tie a boat up to a bollard, is it a finable offense? Oh, no, because finable is not a word. On Friday, the 1st of March, I was really annoyed that finable is not there.
Mm-hmm.
Even more, findable's not there. And findable can be spelled two ways, with an E or without an E. Is in Merriam-Webster. It's one of those words that I had to try so many times because I was like, am I doing something wrong? Like, I understand he doesn't put a lot of ables, but this is a word that you're like, why would fillable be there and not findable?
Yeah, or as you pointed out, fileable.
Right.
It makes no sense at all.
Yeah, you know what else I was annoyed at on March 1st is that it's all the B words. Like B beginnings and then all the able endings and you have to figure out which ones he's going to count of both of them. And it's just like exhausting.
Yeah.
Luckily, I haven't had a lot of time, so I didn't have to care.
Did you finish today's? I only got to genius.
I did it at like 6 this morning to genius and hadn't had to walk away. Yes. I have not been near my stuff again. So.
Well, let me give you plaudits.
I like that word. I was happy with plaudits.
Thursday 2/29, plaudit was the pangram.
Leap day, by the way, very exciting. Lots of things about leap day in the world that maybe don't go with this podcast, but are very interesting about the history of leap day. So
we'll have to find a word that lets us talk about that in the future.
Okay.
I learned something about plaudit, though, that I really liked. And I feel like vaguely we might have talked about this in the past, that it comes from the Latin word plaudere, which means to applaud.
Right.
Which makes sense.
And applaud was there too.
But it's also related to all of these other words like explode and plausible and displode, which I don't know if you know, is a synonym for explode.
So it's
that plosive sounds are from plaudere.
We did talk about this. I'm almost positive.
I think we did too.
I don't remember
many things. I still like it. I don't know what we said. I think I probably liked it then and I like it now.
I feel like you did it for a deep dive or you did some word that's in that family.
Yeah, that's totally possible.
As soon as you said the plosive thing, I was like, you talked about that.
Yeah, I still like it.
Anything else we need to talk about?
I just want to put in a side note for the word that we talked about last week, diatom. Because we asked David to write to us and tell us what he thought about it because he's a science guy.
Mm-hmm.
And he did write back to us this very nice email about how he studied diatoms for his senior thesis in school, and that diatoms are the things that cause phosphorescence in water.
Like the bioluminescent bays.
And he said you missed them in Puerto Rico. And, you know, he basically convinced me that diatoms are cool.
Well, were you not thinking that diatoms are cool? The question was whether it had to be a word.
Well, and now what he said, I think that they're cool, I'm okay with them as a word.
And what he also said was that he's biased because he studied them, which, again, a word I'm glad to know. Whether we all should have known it ahead of time, questionable. I don't know. I could go either way.
I don't know either. Yeah. One last thing, see? Okay. I'm throwing this to you because I think you might have an opinion on
yes.
it. And that is non-union, Saturday 2/24.
Yeah, that's 100% a word. And I was happy it was there because I thought it wasn't before and I was real annoyed about it.
I don't have any question that it's a word. But you, being a former union organizer, I wonder if you have an opinion on whether it should be hyphenated or not.
Oh, no, I was thinking it would not be hyphenated. Is it both in various things? Probably, right?
It's actually not hyphenated in Merriam-Webster, but in my mind, it is always hyphenated. That's all.
I like it. N-O-N-U-N-I-O-N. It's kind of a cool, like, symmetry to the whole thing, except that you should be union, not non-union, but other than that.
Oh, wait, I know I just said that was the last thing, but there is one more quick thing.
Yes.
A number of shows ago last season, we were talking about the word China, I think, and we were wondering if there were any other words of a country that are lowercase
things. God, this one. I know exactly where you're going.
Morocco.
Yeah, and when you looked at Morocco, were you like, yeah, that should not be a word in the B. That's ridiculous.
A fine leather from goat skin tanned with sumac.
Yeah.
Morocco with a lowercase M. Wednesday, 2/24.
That is insane.
But that answers our
question.
Jen? Yes.
Speaking of Morocco, far off places.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm really thinking about far off words. Wait, not far off words. Words I want to get into more. Really, what I'm trying to say in a very, very contorted way is I think it's time for the word of the week. In the word of the week part of our show, one of us takes a deep dive into a word that has tickled us from the bee this week. I was so excited about my word from last week, Google, that I've mentioned it again a Google of times on the show. Jen, what are you going to get us excited about this time?
See, I don't think it's going to be very hard to get you excited about this word because I know that it caused you both unspeakable joy and horror earlier this morning.
What is it?
Today's Bee, Friday 3/1, included the word ineffable, but not the word effable.
Yeah, I really was annoyed. What the F is up with that?
So this ineffable, effable scenario actually occurred once before in the Bee on August 13th, 2021.
Mm.
And I was so annoyed about it then that I put a post on Twitter. We were still on Twitter. I'll repost that to Facebook and Instagram this week. But the basis of that post was an excellent quote from Old Possum's book of Practical Cats, written by T.S. Eliot, first published in 1939. Ah. And later, the inspiration for Andrew Lloyd Webber's musical phenomenon
cats
that is known as cats. Yes. This is in the poem The Naming of the Cats. Eliot writes, "When you notice a cat in profound meditation, the reason, I tell you, is always the same. His mind is engaged in a rapt contemplation of the thought, of the thought, of the thought of his ineffable, effable, effin-ineffable, deep and inscrutable singular name."
Ooh, very good reading. Da, 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 da,
da, da. Thank you. Plaudits. Ineffable, effable. I thought we could dig in to see whether we could figure out why in the world Sam would count ineffable but not count effable.
Yes, I want to know.
Okay. Oxford Languages defines ineffable as too great or extreme to be expressed or described in words. So indescribable, as in the ineffable natural beauty of the Everglades. It also means not to be uttered, as in unspeakable, the ineffable Hebrew name that Gentiles write as Jehovah. Oxford Languages describes effable as the opposite of that, able to be described in words. So, effable appears in Oxford Languages, in the OED, in Merriam-Webster, in Collins, in dictionary.com, and basically every other dictionary ever compiled has effable.
Okay.
Now, to be fair, most of those do note that it is rare or archaic, But when has that ever prevented Sam from including a word before?
Right. That's a good point.
Like, bedaub.
Right. Exactly. Okay?
Which one do you think came first, C? Effable or ineffable?
I bet it's effable.
You would be correct. Ding, 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 ding.
Yes. Yeah. Ridiculous.
Ineffable comes from in plus effable, as in not right. effable.
Why did one become archaic and the other didn't?
Well, that I don't know the answer to, but...
Jen, that's the obvious question.
I can tell you this. And it's not everybody says it's archaic. Some people just say it's rare. Merriam-Webster has a thing about it where they say it's less common than ineffable. I don't know.
Okay.
But obviously, in the case of ineffable, in is a negative prefix, like un, and effable comes from the Latin effari, meaning to speak out. And that actually breaks down to ex as a prefix, which means out or out of, plus fari, F-A-R-I, which is the Latin to speak or to say. So ex fari becomes effare, which becomes effable. Now, what I think is really interesting about that is that ineffable is like a doubly prefixed word. Because if you take fari to speak and you add ex, then you have effable, and then you add in and you have ineffable. So it's like in ex fare. I thought that was really fun.
Yeah, that is.
What I also thought was really fun and interesting is that fari, F-A-R-I, is the root of a number of other words that we wouldn't necessarily think about that are therefore related to effable and ineffable. One of them is infant, in as in not, and fans, which is the present participle of fare, to speak. So it literally means not speaking or not able to speak, infant, which becomes a young child or a baby.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Right?
Yeah.
Fable. Ah. Fable is fare, to speak or to tell, plus the suffix B-U-L-A, which is a feminine suffix denoting a thing, vessel, or place. So fabula, which literally means that which is told. And that becomes a story with a lesson, a tale, an account, or a narrative, that which is told. Affable is ad, which is to, and fari, to speak. Affari becomes affable. Literally, it means to speak to. Then affabilis, or affabilis, or I don't know how you pronounce it, literally becomes one who can be easily spoken to, which turns into approachable, courteous, kind, or friendly. The last one is the word fate. The neuter past participle of fari, which we now know means to speak, is fatum, and that literally is that which has been spoken, and that turns into fate, that which is ordained destiny.
Mm.
So all of these words are related to effable and ineffable. So why the tragic fate of effable in the spelling bee?
Tragic fate.
I don't know. I find it to be ineffably unreasonable.
I think you need to go back, though, and figure out why effable in general fell out of fashion, because it seems like a tragic thing for it in general.
I think we should bring it back.
I think it is back.
I think I'm going to start to use it in regular conversation and see if people pick it up.
I bet people will totally know what you're talking about. And you're right. You might start a trend. All right, Jen, do you think effable or ineffable are like weird words?
They are not. But they might be unbelievable words.
Oh, wait, that's wild card. We love the New York Times Spelling Bee. But sometimes we run across other words that we want to mention too.
Yes, we do. For example, my word today, bedizen.
Bedizen. It's a B word.
B-E-D-I-Z-E-N. It's like denizen, but it's not.
Ah, so is it to dizen somebody?
No.
Oh.
It's a verb which means to dress or adorn in a showy, gaudy, or tasteless manner. Bedizen.
Ooh. So it's like you didn't design, you dizened. I like that.
Well, it's like this.
Where'd you get this word?
I got this word from Word Daily, which is one of the daily emails that I get with words in my inbox. And I'll give you two sample sentences from dictionary.com. One is, she was bedizened in a sequined gown and an enormous feathered headpiece. The other is, to my dismay, the new PR team bedizened our website with animated images and text. Mm. I also like that there is a noun, bedizenment, which is dressed or adorned gaudily. But you know what is interesting about this word to me, see, because you kind of asked like if it was to be dizen somebody.
Right, right, right.
And when I first read it, I thought, well, clearly it's like bedazzle, you know, like when you put rhinestones all over stuff.
Right.
It has nothing to do with that. It comes from a verb, which is dizen, D-I-S-E-N, which is like this very old, like originally Dutch textile term, which means to dress a distaff. And a distaff is a tool used in spinning with flax. How weird is that?
Very wonderful still skin of you.
Yeah. I have bedizened the room.
Nice. Very nice, Jen. I like that one.
Yeah. What's your word?
My word is Zeitgeber.
Zeitgeber? Wait a minute. Let me guess. Is that like a zeitgeist and a lightsaber combined?
Well, come on, German lady. What's Zeit mean?
Zeit means time.
What's Geber mean?
G-E-B-E-R. Giver?
Giver. So time giver. Exactly. A Zeitgeber refers to, this is from Merriam-Webster, refers to an environmental agent or event, such as the occurrence of light or dark, that provides the stimulus which sets or resets an organism's biological clock.
So interesting.
Yeah. So their example sentence is, the ratio of daylight to darkness in the spring is an important Zeitgeber that affects the activity of some migrating birds.
Wow. Zeitgeber. I like that. Pretty cool, huh?
It was one of their words of the day. So, you know, most of their words of the day in Merriam-Webster Webster are really good words for like SAT, like, you know, words that we should know that we generally do. But every once in a while, they have kind of a crazy one. And this was on February 4th.
I like it.
Yeah.
And it reminds me of, you've been watching True Detective, Night Country, right?
I told you, didn't I?
Oh my gosh. So good. Yeah. And that word reminds me of it.
I don't know. That show just reminds me of scariness.
That show that is show scary. Is In so fact, frightening. I might call it wild.
You mean like the wild card?
The wild card gives us an opportunity to do whatever wild thing we want.
Girls gone wild here.
Hey, are we really wild? Is that our personality?
I feel like you're getting us set up for something, Jen.
You know me very well.
Yes.
I got an email from the New York Times about a puzzle personality quiz.
You always get these emails.
You probably got it and ignored it. Or, you know, maybe Sam just really wants to know my inner workings and values my opinions and not yours.
Or the New York Times is just trying to make money off its games.
That's definitely it.
All right. So you did send this to me earlier this week. Mm-hmm. Let me look for it.
Okay.
All right. I'm looking at the email. And the email reads, the game's editorial team thinks a lot about how to guide solvers, both novices and veterans, through our puzzles, and also about what people might like as we work on new prototypes, like the Connections once was. And my, this is not in their thing, my other favorite digits that you took away, dummies. Anyway, back to what they said. We've learned a lot from talking to you all, but we also get help from data scientists to make our puzzles better. So they're trying to get information from us, and maybe, this is back to them, learn a little about yourself. Yeah, right.
Okay.
So here's what they say. With the puzzle personality quiz, you'll answer 10 questions. As you answer, an avatar representing your personality.
And we know where
avatar
comes from.
Yes, we do. Deep dive. There are 6 basic archetypes, but each avatar will be tailored to your answers. When you're done, you'll receive information about your puzzle personality, puzzle recommendations, and a downloadable avatar you can share with your friends and competitors.
A shareable, downloadable avatar?
That's a lot of able words there. What would actually count if they were in the B, right?
Probably none of them. You know, I sent this to you, but I haven't actually looked at it. So let's click it and see what happens.
All right, let's do it.
I'm opening the link.
This was on February 22nd, by the way. Tap the start button. Are you tapping the start button?
I am tapping the start button.
All right, you want to read the first question?
Sure, I'll read the first question. When I am out for a fun night with my friends, I am usually... doing the B. Oh, that was my answer. Sorry. Wondering if my dog is having fun at home without me.
I already know what you're going to say.
Making up interesting backstories.
Oh, you have it in a different order than I do. I have to tell you that. Interesting.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it must be a random order. That's smart, data scientists. Yes.
Asking my friends how they scored on Wordle that day. The center of attention. I always have a story to tell. What if your story is about Wordle?
Right. Or the B.
The person most likely to win at beer pong. Okay, definitely not that one. And wondering who is going to pick up the check.
That's a hard one. Don't tell me what you, or are we going to tell you what we answered, or are we just going to wait to the end to see what we got?
I think we should compare scores, but let's like know which one you're going to say before we compare answers, I mean.
Okay, got it.
Okay, I know mine.
All right, I am making up interesting backstories for people.
I'm asking my friends how they scored on Wordle that day.
Except not but Wordle. I couldn't even answer that
the B
one.
For Wordle.
Yes, gotcha. All right. Oh my God, I have the scariest looking little guy, little bald guy with big ears who like seems to be holding his penis. All right.
I do not have that picture, but I do have a picture that looks like a kid in underwear, which is very disturbing.
He's not holding his penis?
No, he has his hand on his hip.
Which video game character sounds most like you? I will accept whatever is in front of me, like Pac-Man. I'm loyal and cheerful, like Pikachu. I'm an introvert, but I will always step up for my friends, like Luigi. I love to party like a Sim. I'm cute, powerful, and brave like Kirby. I don't let anyone or anything get in my way like Sonic the Hedgehog. So I don't even know what most of these things are, but there's one that is definitely me.
There's one that is definitely like me.
Well, I am loyal and cheerful like Pikachu.
I would have said that.
Yes.
I am cute, powerful, and brave like
knew
Kirby.
You were gonna say that. Ooh, my bald person now has a mullet. Okay.
Oh, I have a mullet too now, but mine's still wearing underwear.
Mine is still holding their penis.
Is my avatar going to be wearing underwear?
Okay, go.
When I play a game of Monopoly, my main goal is to just keep up. It's so embarrassing to go bankrupt in front of my friends, enjoy myself and forget about other things going on in my life, mercilessly vanquish my enemies, spend time with friends and loved ones, be the banker so I can be in control, encourage everyone to buy up all the properties so the game ends faster.
I totally have an answer, but it's very specific to Monopoly.
What is it?
I want this game to be over. Buy the properties. Can we be done?
Same.
Yes.
Same.
I just got what looks like a curtain skirt over me. Did you when that happened?
Pants. They're like plaid pants or something.
You think they're pants? I guess there's a little dot, but they really look like a skirt to
thank
me.
Thank God it's not underwear.
Maybe culotte. All right. The best part of eating out alone in a restaurant is ordering my favorite dessert. I deserve a treat. Being the first of my friends to say I've eaten there, chatting with the servers, bringing a good book, not feeling hurried to finish my meal, nothing. I'm just here to eat. I got it.
Okay, I got mine too.
Mine is not feeling hurried to finish my meal.
Mine is bringing a good book.
Oh, that's a good one too. But I don't like to eat and read. Oh my God, I just got the most ridiculous shirt and tie.
I got a vest. Maybe this is where we're starting to depart from each other.
Well, I want to depart from the me that's on this avatar. But
yeah, it's weird. Okay.
Oh, this one's easy. Oh, it's almost easy.
All right. Wait, let's talk about that dessert some more. My idea of a satisfying dessert is I don't usually
ice cream.
Allow myself.
The answer should just be plain ice cream. Why is plain ice cream?
I don't usually allow myself to eat dessert. Platter of ripe fruit and delicious cheese. No, that's called dinner.
Yeah.
Whatever the trendiest dessert is, absolutely not.
Blah.
Something savory. I'm not a sweets person. Who are answering these questions? An ice cream sundae with all of the toppings, a rich slice of chocolate.
All right. So can we talk about this? Because we know each other very well and we know what our favorite dessert is because it's the same dessert.
Yeah. It's ice cream.
Yeah. So the question is, do I say a rich slice of chocolate cake because I like chocolate cake and I like that that's just like a plain piece of cake, which is what I want because I want ice cream more than anything, but I hate sundae toppings. They're disgusting.
Yeah, I agree. Especially all of the toppings at once. Like, no.
All right. I think I'm going chocolate cake because I think it's more the point of the question than the actual answer, which would be ice cream. That's just my opinion.
I think I'm going to do the same, actually.
Oh, that gave me purple Crocs. That part was exciting.
Oh, I got purple Crocs, too. That must be the I like clean, simple dessert shoe.
All right. Is it mine? The Tetris block that most closely matches my personality is the T block. Capable of anything and always happy to help out. The O block, always shows up for the job. The I block, the Michael Jordan of Tetris blocks.
What?
The SZ blocks, finicky. Honestly, I'd rather crush candy. The LJ blocks, never really sure how it'll land. That's a stupid question.
I got mine.
Do you have yours?
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to be the T block.
I'm going to be the T block too.
Yeah, we're capable and happy to help, but it's all stupid. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, did you like that hat? We just got a weird trucker hat.
This is the worst outfit I've ever seen on a person. And guess what? You all are going to get to see it because we're going to post our avatars on Facebook.
Are we really going to advertise this?
We're doing a whole segment on it.
True.
An ideal Friday night for me would be curled up on the couch with a good book and my pet.
Well, that's obviously the answer. Do you have to read any of the rest of that?
mulling over all of my options for weekend activities and then just staying home anyway. Going to bed early. That might be you.
That might be me.
Demolishing my friends at pool at our favorite bar. A fancy cocktail with my bestie at a chic little bar because we deserve a treat. Out with my friends and chatting up that cute stranger at the bar. Oh, that sees.
Yeah. Well, that would be me if I wasn't. Well, oh, wait. Could I have my friends chatting up cute strangers? Because, you know, yes. I am married. But the real truth is, in general, on Friday, I want to go to sleep. They didn't ask Saturday. They asked
That's
Friday.
What I said. That was my first answer for you.
Yeah, I'm going to bed.
All right. I'm reading a book with Keats.
What did you get? I got some ridiculous glasses.
I got a green bandana around my neck.
Oh, that's awesome. All right. If I am running out of time on a work project, my immediate course of action is to worry and hope my manager doesn't notice, double down on priorities and speed up, ask for an extended deadline, and then refresh with a short walk outside. Oh, look, that other project over there looks shiny. Keep going at the same pace. It'll be ready when it's ready. Try to persuade my friends and our colleagues to help. Now, I got to finish everything. I know we're supposed to wait, but that is 100%. There's only one answer for me.
The double down on priorities and speed up.
Yeah. I just got to get it done. Okay. Oh, we got a trophy for that one.
Trophy. Woo.
I love it. All right.
Oh, I like this question. My secret superpower is.
Oh, you do like secret superpowers.
I know. And mine, my real one is not on this list.
Wait, what is it again?
Sleeping through anything.
Right. I do know that. Okay.
It's not secret. Actually, that's my not secret superpower. Yes. I can't tell my secret superpower. It wouldn't be secret anymore.
Of course.
Being able to plan my day down to the second and stay on
that
schedule.
That is my superpower.
Flexibility. Come over. Don't come over. It's all good. Being willing to try absolutely anything once. Getting my
that's
group of friends to agree on a restaurant.
No.
Reading all of Atlas Shrugged without rolling my eyes.
Ugh.
And being able to zone out and recharge.
No. So I have two that are, for me, that are totally true.
Mm. What are they? I'll tell you which one to pick.
Well, I'm obviously able to plan my day the second, stay on schedule. I don't like this, but it is my superpower.
Yeah.
But I'm also totally willing to try everything. Well, absolutely anything. I guess that's a question.
Mm.
But in general, I do like to do new things and I want to try
new stuff. I think that you should
pick
that one because I'm going to pick the schedule one.
Wait a minute. You never are on schedule. That is 100% not true. You plan your day. You are never on schedule. You are always late for your schedule.
Down to the last minute.
Yes. And then you are late on every part of that day. You know that.
That is true. I am late. Maybe that's my secret part. All right, fine.
All right.
And I will say getting
No, you pick yours.
Because you're right. I am very good at planning my day down to the second, but I am less good at staying on schedule. So I am going to say getting my friends to agree on a restaurant because I am very diplomatic and
yes,
I can do that.
You are, and you're a good planner. Yes.
Okay.
All right. Why did the chicken
what did you
cross
get with
the
that
road?
One? What did you say and what did you get?
I got, actually, this is the best one. I got books and pencils and
See, I should have picked that one.
Yeah, what'd you get?
I can't even tell. I think I got rose bushes or daisies or something.
You know what I think part of this is, I'm realizing as it's almost done, it had to definitely be like a they kind of looking person.
Yes,
does that make sense?
Yeah.
Anyway. All right. I mean, I appreciate that it doesn't have to be like boy feeling, girl feeling.
Okay, can we talk about the fact that it's clearly white? I mean, it's pink, but it's white.
Oh, mine is very yellow. And so I would say like, it's not clear that it's supposed to be a specific race. I don't know.
Okay. So maybe they're just all different colors.
Let's hope.
Yeah. Okay. Last one.
Okay. Why did the chicken cross the road? Because exercise is good for the body to show that it could. I don't know. You tell me because I asked nicely. Kindness is key to block traffic. Sorry, not sorry. To be fair, I wasn't here when it happened. I don't even understand this question. And I was going to say because exercise is good for the body because that's my general thing. But you got to pick block traffic. Yeah. Oh, what? Okay. You won't believe what I got.
Mine does not describe me at all.
Mine either. What was yours?
Mine is the social butterfly.
Wait, that's hysterical because guess what mine is?
It's going to be something that describes me, whereas mine describes you.
Mine is the wordy wallflower.
Oh my God. How did that happen?
Once someone has convinced me to try a puzzle, I play to decide if digital puzzle games contribute to my mind's upkeep. Some of my friends are real puzzle addicts, and I can have a hard time saying no, even though I'm not, because I don't want the person to think I don't like them. What did I answer that made them think that? Word games are fun, but I play a little bit of everything. Staying healthy and mentally sharp is important, but I'm not absolutely sure that digital puzzle games help all that much. I do enjoy playing some of these games, though, and while it's not a daily thing with me, not true, I will definitely open one if I'm bored or stressed out. Thank goodness for my smartphone. I can pick it up almost anytime and work on my puzzles.
Okay. Well, number one, that doesn't describe me either, now that I've heard the description.
And it really doesn't describe me. That's insane.
Let me read mine, and we'll see if it describes either of us.
Okay.
Digital puzzle games are a social experience for me. They're a way to compete, but we can also chat and spend time together. I'm not super competitive, but I will play if I know that others are playing too. I also play digital games when I'm feeling lonely and looking to bond or connect.
That's ridiculous.
I'm big on sharing strategies or tips with less experienced players. I get frustrated if the games finish too soon or are too repetitive, and I will trade in my current games for something better, although I may have a tough time finding that better game. So much of that is not true.
Yeah, this is really, really bad data science, people. And the picture is wacko.
So see, I feel like we just spent a lot of time on this quiz, which was fun to take, but ridiculous. And I am so not happy with the results of it.
That sounds a lot like the bee. And with that, that's it for this episode of Tom, Tit, and Baobab.
I hope none of you feel like that describes this podcast. Thanks for being with us today. We drop a new episode every Monday, so keep coming back.
In the meantime, be in touch. You can connect with us on Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok, or email us at tomtitandbaobab@gmail.com.
We want to know all about the bees you like, bees you hate, words you missed, words you'd like to know about, and of course, we'd love to see your puzzle personality avatars and know if you agree that that was a ridiculous quiz.
Yeah. We need to know if it describes you at all.
Yeah.
If you like TNB and never want to miss an episode, subscribe or follow us.
Even better, leave a rating or a review. This helps other word nerds and puzzle lovers find our very indie Word in the Bee this week, very unsponsored podcast.
Bye, everybody.
Bye.